Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there also. The live video feed, appreciate you. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Tuesday. Oh, yes. Carrie, what'd it do?
Hello, how's it going?
You getting it done or what?
Of course.
That's a yes? No?
Yes.
You're not getting it done?
That is a yes. I am getting it done.
Very low audio today from you today. I'll turn you up a little bit over here.
Okay.
Crazy Train Tuesday, it's how we do. We've got a lot going on. Senator John Cornyn on the program today. We'll talk about the killing of Soleimani. And also, impeachment. Sheriff David Clark on the killing of Soleimani. And also, he wants the GOP to get in the game. And we make fun of Colin Kaepernick a bit. That's always fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Nothing like making fun of Kaepernick. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
On the good drugs again today.
Oh, yeah.
So I monitor my sleep with the Apple Watch and the stupid app on the thing. And although I was in bed for 7 hours, let's see how much I got. Hold on a second. I just want to make sure that I get it right. I actually got 4 hours and 29 minutes sleep. What is that?
That's not good.
That?
Not
and it appears
all.
That every half hour I just wake up.
Because you couldn't breathe or...
I guess it's the breathing issue.
Okay.
I guess it's a lot of breathing. Really need some sleep.
I guess so.
So by hour three, if I'm drowsy, if you guys could just do what you do.
Let's just call it in. Yeah, let's call it a day.
What do you mean call it in? What does that mean?
After
how do you call
hour
it a day?
Two
how do you do
and,
that?
And hit the road.
How do you do that?
I don't
just
know.
Play hour one and say, screw it, we're out of here.
Let's just play music for a couple hours.
We're not going to do that for the people. For the people, we will step up.
Of course.
We will step up for the people. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot to get to. And still, we have these horrible allergies or allergens in the area where we happen to live in South Central Texas. Yeah, it was funny. When I moved here, they were calling it Central South Texas.
Central South Texas?
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what it was being called.
That's
I said, why? And somebody at the station said, because we didn't want to sound like we were South Central L.A. I'm like, really?
Okay. South Texas. Right.
Yeah, that person was fired shortly thereafter, so probably word got out, something like
imagine,
that.
Imagine, yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a lot going on today, and more outrage over the killing of Soleimani. I guess Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, was on The View today. Now, people get confused because I comment on The View a lot. I don't watch The View. I don't think I've watched The View since maybe the first couple of episodes, where to me it was known as the show ABC was giving Barbara Walters, where she could sit around with a few other ladies and just talk about news of the day from a news perspective and just sort of a chatty perspective. And it was going to all be women on the panel. Yeah, you had the Debbie Matenopoulos was on there. You had all sorts of strange characters. I don't think Joy Behar was on there way back then. I don't think so. But in the meantime, you also had Rosie O'Donnell showed up in the meantime. Now Whoopi runs the damn thing. And I don't watch the show. It's not a show that's attractive to me. I'm busy picking my nose when that show is on. But invariably, somebody sends video out on Twitter or Facebook or something, something that happened on there. And your girl Pocahontas, who is less Indian than I am, is she was on there. And I guess Meghan McCain was asking her about Soleimani. And she wouldn't call Soleimani a terrorist. And finally she did. She said, well, of course he's a terrorist. But Meghan McCain actually said, what took you so long? Why is there apprehension in calling him a terrorist? And then she starts hemming and hawing about Saddam Hussein. And then she starts talking about, you know, Bush and the war and the this and the that and Trump bad. But that really is the thing. Here's a person who wants to be the president of the United States, who is hesitant to call a man who killed 500 plus American soldiers a terrorist. She was hesitant, just like Ilhan Omar, who should not be anywhere near our Congress, talking about how we took out a head of state or something, some sort of a high-level governmental official. No, he took out a terrorist. Bad guy dead. And Kerry, I don't think many people talk about it on this level, and maybe they do. But most of the news reports I'm hearing aren't saying that he was in Iraq. We didn't bomb him in Iran.
No. I don't know.
He was in Baghdad.
We've been saying, you know, he is from, you know, an Iranian leader from, but it happened in Iraq. Yes.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't seen too many other reports, though.
What was he doing there? Starting trouble. What business did he have in Iraq? He's an Iranian guy. What was he doing in Baghdad? He was planning the next hit. He was supporting the rise of Iranian militia members out at our embassy. He was there up to no good. And he and the terrorist leader that he was meeting with are now dead. And that's okay. Makes for a safer America, a safer world. But man, it's so crazy to see how some of these people are reacting. So we'll have Sheriff Clark on. We'll talk about that and then some. Then we have Senator Cornyn on. Talk about that and then some. How long ago was this Nicholas Sandman thing? Do we know? Did you say when this thing happened?
Let me see.
I mean, I feel like it's not even a year ago. I feel like it was maybe spring.
It should say, but...
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It should say.
Maybe it says.
Then again, it's like an NBC story or something, so maybe not.
Oh, it doesn't. I don't think it says.
Breaking, Babadoo, Sandman. Well, there's a settlement in the case, and we'll figure out exactly when it happened.
Well, it says last year. Last year.
All right, so maybe it was. Well, last year is the, of course.
Yeah, it was a couple of days ago.
Now, so,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, so that doesn't really matter. What matters is this kid was treated like he was a terrorist. So as the left of this country is defending Soleimani and begging Iran not to attack us, please don't attack us, you've got a kid who was treated like he was a piece of garbage. You had a guy, a Native American guy, an American Indian guy, who was aggressive, was beating a drum in his face, that was interviewed by every outlet where they all lied about him being a Vietnam War veteran. He's not. You had the, what was it, the black Hebrew somebody or others were there too? You've got the story. Mm-hmm. If you can, set the story, set the stage. They sued for a lot of money, and there's a settlement now. We don't know what the amount is.
No.
But this is a good first step in B-slapping the fake news media and stopping them from continuing. And maybe they won't stop. But with this, they should actually think twice. Help me out here.
From the Daily Wire, Covington Catholic High School student Nick Sandman reportedly received a settlement from CNN after suing the far-left network for smearing him last year. CNN agreed Tuesday to settle a lawsuit with Covington Catholic student Nick Sandman, Fox 19 reported, and the amount of the settlement was not made public during a hearing at the federal courthouse in Covington. Sandman also filed lawsuits against the Washington Post and NBC Universal, each for $250 million or over, and is reportedly planning to sue Gannett, owners of the Inquirer. Sandman attorneys Todd McMurtry and Lynn Wood filed a $275 million lawsuit against CNN in March of last year in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Kentucky. CNN was probably more vicious in its direct attacks on Nicholas than the Washington Post, and CNN goes into millions of individuals' homes, Wood told Fox News' Mark Levin last year. CNN could not resist the idea that here's a guy with a young boy that Make America Great Again cap on, so they go after him. They really went after Nicholas with the idea he was part of a mob that was attacking the Black Hebrew Israelites, yelling racist slurs to the Black Hebrew Israelites. Totally false, Wood continued. And now you say you've seen the tape. If you took the time to look at the full context of what happened that day, Nicholas Sandman did absolutely nothing wrong. He was, as I've said to others, he was the only adult in the room. In an interview on Fox News last year, McMurtry told anchor Sandra Smith, well, what CNN's tagline is facts first, and what we believe their reporting was in this circumstance was lies first, cover up second, and facts not yet determined by that organization. So the difference between this lawsuit and the other lawsuit we have filed is that CNN is a very significant media organization with a much broader reach than, say, the Washington Post. And as a Twitter follower of 41 million people, it published 4 videos, 9 online articles that were tweeted out. So that's millions and millions and millions of repetitions of the lies and falsehoods that CNN spread. We've talked about the impact on, well... This is terribly written. Well, we've talked about the impact on Nicholas Sandman a number of times, and it is significant. McMurtry continued, Nicholas Sandman was a 16-year-old man who had a perfect reputation. He was loved by his parents, respected at his school, and had many good friends at Covington Catholic High School. So he was a person that was doing very well in life, and due to his strong character, he still is. But nevertheless, his character has now been determined by the lies issued by CNN. So the facts were not first, the lies were. In early February, Sandman's lawyers released a list of 54 individuals
individuals and news organizations they sent letters to, instructing them to preserve evidence for potential lawsuits.
There you go. Fake news media being beeslapped because of its horrible coverage. You know what would have to be a part of any settlement for me had they done this to me?
What's that?
A public apology.
Yeah.
Yeah. A public apology and an admission we got it wrong. Carrie, what might this story have looked like had these young men not recorded the entire thing?
I know.
Had just a small piece been recorded.
Mm-hmm. It was a couple of days, I believe, or maybe at least a day, where we didn't see the full context of the video. There was so much hate for this kid. Hate. Absolute hate.
Hatred. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And he's 16 years old. And it turns out he was the only adult in the room. He was the guy who actually stopped anybody from getting in the face of this American Indian guy that was provoking it all. He was the guy that stood there as he was approached by the American Indian guy, beating the drum, starting trouble. And it was the black Hebrew Israelites who were actually yelling racial epithets at Nick Sandman and his classmates. These kids did nothing wrong. They were visiting Washington, D.C. They were checking out the sites, getting ready to leave, and they ended up in the middle of this. Now, CNN wanted to have, you know, red hat wearing kid bad, Native American war veteran good, black people who were there protesting good, again, white 16-year-old bad. He was the antagonist in the whole thing. If they didn't record this via their cell phones and whatever other devices they had, if they didn't record it, this kid he'd be done. Like, for his whole life, he would be done. He would have this albatross around his neck, this scarlet letter. And at the end of the day, thank God for technology. Not only was he exonerated, it turned out he was the only calm voice, the only calm person. And you know what? When somebody comes aggressively at you, beating a drum and yelling racial stuff at you, you do not have to back down. You can stand right there, put a wry smile on your face, and hopefully it will diffuse the situation. I'd like to know how much it is. But more importantly to me, there would have to be a public apology. There would have to be. Your thoughts on this? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Simple question. Will the mainstream, or I call them legacy media, will they change their ways now, knowing this probably cost them seven digits at least? I would have to imagine millions. I don't know, but I would have to imagine that. Will this change the way they do it? Or that's just a drop in the bucket. They're not going to change anything. And would you have forced them, as part of a settlement, to admit what they did wrong and give a public apology? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. WOAI, an iHeartRadio station.
Hi, great to have you. Glad you stopped by. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Sued for $275 million, CNN settles with Nicholas Sandman, the 16-year-old who was treated like absolute garbage, lied about constantly in the legacy media, alleged to be some racist piece of garbage, and now there's some settlement. They don't even have to disclose how much it is. And I haven't seen, Carrie, every story I've read has not said that they've got to issue any sort of an apology.
I haven't seen that either. It would be nice, but I haven't seen that.
A good case can be made that they settled the case, therefore they're admitting what they did was wrong. But many times, you know, and then when you go back and ask, well, why'd you settle it then? Oh, because we just wanted the hassle of going through the trial.
Exactly.
They're not going to admit
that they were wrong. They're not.
That'd be part of it for me, man.
Yeah.
That'd be part of it. I will not accept your settlement. Let's just go to trial. Let's try to do the 275 then. Let's just go to trial. You guys want to admit that you were wrong? You have to. Look, if you want to be taken seriously as a journalist, if you mess up, and we all make mistakes as humans, if you mess up, just admit it, and then people will have more respect. If you try to deny that you got the facts wrong, and you know, we with the information we had, it made sense. Look, even saying the guy was a Vietnam War veteran, even he himself said he was a Vietnam Times veteran, which basically meant he was enlisted, but he didn't go and fight in the war, therefore he wasn't a Vietnam veteran. To be a Vietnam veteran, you have to go there and fight. We've had this discussion many times. CNN, NBC, ABC, all the legacy media decided to make this guy a Vietnam War veteran who also was an American Indian, Native American, who therefore he's intersectional. He's a war veteran. He's a Native American. He's an older guy. So he had everything going for him. Nicholas Sandman, evil, no good, make America great hat wearing 16-year-old white kid. And he was Christian from Covington Catholic, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, he checked all the boxes. No good guy. So the media now, or this part of the media, the other lawsuits continue, I'd imagine, are paying him something. And it's got to be substantial to make this go away. I would demand an apology. And I hope that happens. I hope it's part of it. Maybe we haven't seen it or heard enough of this yet. I know that he's out there speaking. There's no gag order, Carrie. He's out there speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was on NBC or something. And I'm not really sure that I would show up on a legacy media outlet, to be honest with you. Let me go to Samantha in Louisiana. Samantha, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, Joe. Love the show.
Thank you. What's happening?
I'm a Native American, and I distinctively remember when this happened. I saw the clips on Facebook, jumped to a conclusion that this is a little snotty kid. And the day after, I saw the videos, and I had to apologize.
Right.
Because I was wrong. You know, this kid did nothing wrong. And me and an elder had actually gotten into somewhat of a dispute because she said she would never apologize. And I asked her why. And she said she will always take up for the Native American. And I said, even if he was wrong? She said, yep.
Why?
I will stay behind a Native American no matter what.
Yeah, but that makes no sense. That's the problem with people when they sort of group together like that. You know, I'm an Italian guy. I'm Italian predominantly. I'm an American of Italian descent. I would never say I'm going to support the Italian guy who I just saw rob a bank because he's Italian. That doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense to me at all. I was really disappointed.
And she's not going to change her stance.
Wrong, you're wrong.
She won't change her stance?
Oh, no, not at all.
That's odd. Well, listen, Samantha, I appreciate you. Thank you. Sammy, that's a smart person. You got it wrong, you correct it, you move on. Jimmy, Minnesota, got about a minute. What's happening? Hello,
Joe.
Jimmy.
Joe, you got me?
I do. What's happening? Come on, you got about a minute.
So I distinctly remember what day this was. Do you remember what the kids were doing in Washington, D.C.? They were there for the March for Life. And so they were already fingered by the media as being in the wrong because they're there to protect the right to life. And so immediately when they did something wrong, they were fingered. Actually, the March for Life came out and condemned them right away.
Exactly right. Jimmy, I appreciate that. We've got some breaking. I don't know if I have time to do this, Carrie. I got about 30 seconds. You want to tell me what's going on?
Yeah, real quick. NBC News reporting several rockets have hit the El Asad Air Base in western Iraq that houses U.S. troops. It's unknown how many rockets have been launched or if there are any casualties.
Okay, so that's obviously going to be a retaliation, one would assume, after taking out Soleimani. We'll keep an eye on that. Carrie, if you get anything updated on that, a bigger story, a fuller story, once we start getting people there, let me know, and we will certainly add it to what we're doing today. It is. I appreciate you doing that. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Your thoughts on Sandman, on what you would have expected, what you have demanded on that settlement that we're hearing about, and now breaking news. Looks like Iran might be striking back. Your thoughts on that as well on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. WOAI, an iHeartRadio station.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Plus, the live video feed. Glad to have you along for the ride, the Joe Pags Show for your Tuesday. Senator John Cornyn on this program. We also have Sheriff David Clark, retired Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Going to talk a lot about the Iran situation, the dead Soleimani situation. We know that right before the break, and you probably heard more in your newscast at the bottom, if you have one at the bottom on your station, this sounds like a retaliatory attack in Iraq from Iran. Carrie, do you have something later on this, something newer on this?
Yeah, I do. And I just lost it. Okay.
It's okay. It's all breaking. It's all developing. It's all happening. We aim to bring you the news.
Okay. This is from the Daily Wire. U.S. officials confirming to Fox News Iran is firing multiple missiles at U.S. bases and targets throughout Iraq in response to the U.S. killing Iranian terrorist leader Qasem Soleimani. Fox News reporter Jennifer Griffin reporting a senior U.S. military source told her under missile attack from Iran, these are either cruise missiles or short-range ballistic missiles all over the country. Iran's Fars news agency released video that reported showing them launching the missiles on U.S. forces.
The question has to be, and again, making assumptions is not ever good when it comes to news, but we know rockets, we know where they're emanating, we know where they're targeting, we know where they're ending up. So it's a decent, educated assumption that this is retaliation for the death of Soleimani and the other dead terrorists, too. But what's the end game? What does Iran expect to gain? Because let's really think about it. Iran tries to basically do a 1979 in Iraq by taking our embassy and possibly having a hostage situation. Okay, that's what they did. We know that Iran maimed several Americans and killed an American contractor. We know that. We know that our response was, let's take out a dastardly bad terrorist piece of garbage who had 500-plus American deaths to his credit. Let's kill him. So basically, Iran now should say, well, we probably don't want to play this game. We killed one and hurt a few others. Tried to take over the embassy, didn't work. And he killed our, general. Maybe we shouldn't do this. But instead, now we're having rockets lobbed into Iraq in our positions in that country. Why would they want full-scale war with us? What's the game plan here? I can't figure out what the story can be, because the retaliation now is going to be, all right, if those missiles started in Iran, maybe we tell Israel, do what you got to do. Maybe we decide, because we've got positions all over that place, maybe we decide, okay, it's time now for us to really beat back this threat from Iran that's using money Obama handed over to them to advance terrorism in the region. I can't imagine. I'm not a military mind. I'm not somebody who plays risk even. So I don't know strategies of war like, of course, those who lead our military. But what can the end game be? What do they think is going to happen? Carrie, do you think that they think we'll just stop now? Okay, you got us back. Forget it. We're good.
No, they would be stupid on their part to think that. Not with this president. Mm-mm.
I mean, he's inciting war on purpose, and I'm not really sure what the story is here. And again, the left can say that, well, see, they're retaliating. This is Trump's fault. No, they're retaliating because they're bad people. And the president already retaliated in kind, and then some. I mean, at some point, you've got to figure that there has to be some notion in their minds. This is why we're doing it, because they can't really think they can win. They can't. Are they hoping to have Russia fight a proxy war with us through them? I mean, who knows? I don't know enough to understand what the strategy can be, because with Iraq, when we went in there, 100,000 Revolutionary Guard were either done or surrendered immediately. So what does Iran think it has going for it? Their people don't even like what the government's doing. So it's all very strange to me. Let me go to the phone lines. It's going to be 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. We'll take some Iran calls in a second. Let me take the last call on Nicholas Sandman and that settlement from Ron in Colorado. Ron, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Living the dream. What's happening?
Right on. Well, my comment, what you prompted me to call because you were talking about, asking or demanding CNN issue a public apology. And I think that would have definitely been part of the settlement in my book, but I would have taken it one step further. And I mean, frankly, I would have loved to have seen him take, I'll settle for $1 and a public admission that you deliberately misled your viewers by misrepresenting the facts and selectively editing that video in order to paint a Catholic Trump supporter in the worst possible light. I would love to see them just come right out and say, yeah, we didn't just get it wrong. We got it wrong on purpose.
They would never admit that. They'd rather pay millions of dollars in some sort of a ruling than admit that, because that would end their ability to even pretend to be journalists.
Well, you're right. Yeah, it would be, rating suicide, but...
ratings are already out the window. I mean, the ratings aren't very good on CNN as it is. My point is, if CNN wants to pretend like it's a news leader, and Ron, I appreciate you, but the phone's a little bit scratchy. I'm not sure what's going on. And I appreciate you calling in. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. CNN, although it reports things wrong a lot, There's a lot of hashtag fake news. There's a lot of jumping to conclusions. There's a lot of not doing real due diligence when it comes to journalism. But they still pretend to be a journalistic outlet. I mean, even when Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, you had an insider at CNN admitting they had an agenda just to get Trump. Forget about this news story. Just focus on impeachment and Trump. There really is that mechanism in place. So CNN is not going to change who it is and make an admission that we purposely got it wrong and we purposely reported it incorrectly, because that's going to lead to people saying, well, why would we ever believe you then? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Your thoughts on why Iran is seemingly, and we'll find out at the end of the day exactly what's going on, but why Iran would ever step up the aggravation between us and them. What benefit does Iran ever get out of kicking a sleeping giant? I mean, they already found out that their leader, their general, their military leader is gone because they dared play this game. What do they achieve now? 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Eric's in Minnesota. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. Man, hey. I absolutely agree with what you're saying earlier about the, what's their end game here? I don't see it. Because my whole thing is, if they were attacking us and we retaliated, and we retaliated as quick as we did, all right, and they think that they're going to have Pelosi having their back, it's not going to be done in time to stop Trump. Do you understand where I'm following here? So now Pelosi's already come out publicly and said that they're going to somehow bring some kind of clause or whatever it was to stop Trump from making actions like this in the future. Do you think he's going to let her stop him?
She can't. Nancy Pelosi has no power to stop him. He's the commander-in-chief. He has the right via the Constitution. So, I mean, I'm not sure what Iran is. You think Iran is thinking Nancy Pelosi can stop him?
They're thinking that they somehow have their back.
Well, they do. I mean, no, the Democrats and the left in this country do.
They're going to attempt to stop him. But the problem is, if they've already made a public, statement saying that they don't agree with it and they're going to stop him from doing it again in the future, do you think that Trump is going to stop from doing it? Or do you think it's going to encourage his actions to be quicker and more swift?
Well, I don't think he's going to change. I think that he's very even keel when it comes to responding. Eric, thank you. I think he's very even keel when it comes to responding to Iran and to other, outward aggression by countries. He's shown that he's not a hawk. He's shown that he's contemplative. He's shown that he's not somebody who is trigger happy. But I don't think he's going to change because of what Iran thinks of Pelosi's ability to intercede. And I don't think Pelosi has any ability to do anything to stop him from responding and retaliating and defending America. So it's all very interesting. Now I'm getting a report. This is interesting. And again, I'm just getting them as they go. But Doug writes me, and he gives me a jpost.com. I don't know. It's interesting. They're saying that it might be a drill. There's no way that's a drill if the Iranian press is saying that the attack is happening. Base attack, Jerusalem Post, may be a drill. Shelter-in-place sirens were heard at the Taji base in Iraq north of Baghdad Tuesday. As far as news reported that 5 rockets were reportedly fired at the base that hosts American soldiers. Kurdistan 24 reporter Barzan Sadiq tweeted that the base was calm on Tuesday night, and reports indicated that the reported attack may have been a drill. And that's from the Jerusalem Post. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So we'll keep an eye on this. As I say, and as Kerry said, it's breaking news. We're getting the information in as it goes, and we'll move the information forward as we can. That would be interesting. The question now becomes, would Iran have its news agency report that it's happening as a drill just to see how people would react? Kerry, that'd be nuts, wouldn't it?
It would. I don't see that happening. I will say, though, when we first heard about it maybe 30 minutes ago, I did hear a report that it was a drill, and that's why we didn't say anything about it. But then NBC and CNN and Fox News, everybody broke with it. So we went with it, too. So that's not the first time I've heard that.
All right. But we're going to keep an eye on it. We're going to see what happens. I don't understand. A drill doesn't work that way. A drill is where the base actually does the drill. And the news media from the alleged aggressive country or the attacking country would not be reporting that they're doing it to help us do a drill. That doesn't make sense. So we'll keep an eye on it. As we get more information, we'll go for it. We've got a lot of people on the line from Florida, Michigan, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and more. Joe Pags Show coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags. every day. Every hour.
Every hour.
I like to stay informed.
Everything you need to stay informed. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Great to have you at the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. All the social media there, make sure you scroll down and sign up for the newsletter. You could also buy some Pags stuff. Sold some stickers today. Some people bought some stickers. Nothing wrong with that. Will you put a bumper sticker in your car, Kara, if I give you a sticker?
Oh, I don't do bumper stickers. I don't do bumper stickers. But I would take it and maybe put it somewhere else, so probably. Just not on my car.
In the toilet bowl?
No, I would never do that. Oh, hey, okay. I'm part of it. I wouldn't put it in the toilet bowl. Oh.
Paulo's shaking his head like you would. Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. It didn't appear to be a drill to me. We're getting more information, right?
That's right. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard is now claiming it has launched 9 ballistic and multiple unguided missiles at the Al-Assad Air Base in western Iraq. That's the same base that President Trump visited over Thanksgiving. And according to multiple reports, at least 6 rockets landed at the Al-Assad Air Base in western Iraq. CNN says as many as 10. No word on casualties.
So most are saying 6. CNN, of course, being the outlet it is. We're saying 10. We're going to go with 10. So we're just not sure. We're not sure. And again, I would not understand an increase in aggression from Iran, because if they did send 10 or 6 or whatever, there'd probably be 100 coming back their way. So I'm not sure what they're doing or what the game plan is here.
But it doesn't surprise you that Iran's doing this. A lot of people thought they were actually, yes, they were going to retaliate, but that they were going to wait until the end of the mourning period for Soleimani. And that hasn't ended yet. So this is happening earlier than what a lot of people thought.
I'll be honest. I thought that with the retaliation and taking out their general as swiftly as we did, I thought that Iran would say, "Ooh, we better stop this crap, because this is not going to be good." Because again, when you face a bully with might and with strength and with fortitude, they generally speaking will back down. The response now, if these reports are true, the response now is going to be one we have to watch very, very closely.
Now, our
response is going to be, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I do have something from Iran's state-run TV network. They are confirming the strike, said that tens of ground-to-ground missiles were launched against U.S. forces. Quote, this morning, courageous fighters of the IRGC's Air Force launched a successful operation called Operation Martyr Soleimani with the code OZARA by firing tens of ground-to-ground missiles at the base of the terrorist and invasive U.S. forces, the news outlet said.
There you go. And again, you can trust the news outlet like that for about as far as you can throw them. The courageous warriors, and just the wording of it, that's written by somebody in the government.
Of course. Yes.
We're going to keep a close eye on that for sure, because it's definitely something that's breaking and developing as the show continues. And this is all happening as we do the show live, and some of you get the show later, and I understand that, but the show right now, it's about 5 minutes to 7 o'clock Eastern time. Let me tell you about Raycon. It's a wireless world. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. You know that. I've been telling you about them for a long time. I use them. I really love them. Go with Raycons. Raycon started about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds in the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit. And unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are all stylish and discreet. You don't have the dangling wires. No stems coming out of your ears. Perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls, too. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Cardi B and Snoop Dogg have already given Raycons their seal of approval. So it's your time now to go and check and see what's going on with Raycons. Get 15% off your order by going to buyraycon.com/pags, buyraycon.com/pags for 15% off right now. Get these wireless earbuds. One more time, buyraycon.com/pags. Get it done. You go to the phone lines. Your thoughts on what's breaking and what's happening right now. Going to be Mike in Florida. Mike, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I'm living the dream. What's happening? Come on.
All right, man. Doing all right. Hey, listen. I wanted to throw out something. You know, these guys don't want Trump for 4 more years, right, in Iran. So what if they're just trying to throw him curveballs and, maybe see if he'll mess up try to get the Democrats back in the election?
So you think that Iran might be doing this to try to get a Democrat elected and get rid of the guy they're afraid of?
I mean, militarily, they don't have a chance, right?
Well, they have no chance. None whatsoever.
Oh, so that's the only I could think of, right? I mean, everybody knows this is going to be, it's in the bag for Trump next year. So I think dudes try to mess him up at this point.
I hear you. Mike, I appreciate it. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. 1 minute for you, Jim. Make it happen.
Yeah, Iran is nothing but a little gnat, and they need to be swatted.
But I'll tell you another thing. They want a nuclear bomb. Why the hell don't we just give them one? In this. I mean, you can't go in there and piss around. You got to swat that and do it. You can't reason with these morons. In Michigan, at the Islamic Center in Detroit, they sent condolences to Iran. And I live 2 hours from that stupid place.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Right straight up 75.
No, it's pretty ridiculous. I hear you. No, I hear you. And I hear the anger in your voice, too. And I don't blame you. He's not saying give them a nuclear weapon to use. He's saying land one there. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Obviously, we'll stay on top of this. Keep it right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV, glad to have you here. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Tuesday. That's right.
I.
Let's go. Crazy Train is an appropriate song for the leaders of Iran. I'm not really sure what the leaders of Iran think they're pulling or what they can achieve. But it ain't gonna work. We got breaking news, developing story. Iran-backed militants who were trying to take over our embassy. And in the mix, you had Soleimani, this bad guy who planned the attack, backed the attack, was in Iraq, not Iran, his own country, was in Iraq as the attack was happening and allegedly planning more attacks. An American was killed, several others injured. The president gives the order, takes out Soleimani and the Iraqi terrorist mastermind that he was working with. They're both dead at Baghdad Airport. And you have to figure that Iran would say, you know, we probably shouldn't keep on messing with this guy. But instead, we've got reports now that have been going on for what, about a half hour, 45 minutes, Carrie, something like that?
I would say maybe about an hour, almost an hour.
Yeah. Reports now that there's been a retaliatory attack. That's what the news media in Iran is saying. A retaliatory attack against our interests in Iraq. What's the latest they have on this?
This is from Fox News. Missiles were fired early Wednesday in multiple locations across Iraq. A senior U.S. military source in the country told Fox News, describing it as a series of attacks on U.S. forces from Iran. And the source told Fox News' Jennifer Griffin, under missile attack from Iran, these are either cruise missiles or short-range ballistic missiles all over the country. The missile struck near Al Asad Air Base in Anbar, among other locations. And there was no immediate word on injuries or damage. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said after the attack, we are aware of the reports of attacks on U.S. facilities in Iraq. The president has been briefed and is monitoring the situation closely and consulting with his national security team. It was not immediately clear how the U.S. may respond. In the meantime, Iran State TV claimed Tehran launched tens of surface-to-surface missiles at Iraq's Ain Asan Air Base housing U.S. troops. State TV describing it as Tehran's revenge operation over the killing of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani.
As if we just took him out because we felt like it. Of course, that was in response to what Iran started. I'm not sure why Iran wants to start this. And I asked this question, you know, a little bit ago, and I've got a couple of calls waiting to talk about it, but I'll open it up for you, too. What exactly does that country gain? When the country was saber-rattling with Obama capitulated, bent over backwards, $1.8 billion they said was owed to them, but it wasn't. $1.8 billion on pallets just sent there in cash, $150 billion in frozen assets, unfrozen, and they've used that money, it would seem, to build up an arsenal to continue their attacks of terrorism. So what does it gain knowing that you've got somebody in there now that's not going to send them a bunch of money? You've got somebody in there now who's going to respond in kind and even more forcefully. Now, I'm not suggesting that I know militarily what to do in response, but I know there will be a response. The United States is not going to say, hey, you shot a bunch of rockets in. So we're just going to stop for a while. That's not going to happen. So what do you want the response to be? What should it be? And I think an even deeper question is, what is Iran doing? What is their thought process? Because they have no chance of winning. What's the thought process? Trying to start World War III? Trying to have Russia take their side as we have, you know, our allies in the region, Israel on our side and so on? What's the game here? Let me go to it. Let me say hello and welcome to Ralph, who's in Virginia. Ralph, what's going on? Hi. Come on, Ralph. You're on the air.
Today,
I'm living the dream. What's happening?
Well, I got a little tin hat on. All this Jim or John Kerry being over in Iran, you know, since this impeachment thing's not working, maybe this is another ploy for the Democrats to try to get Trump into war so he won't get reelected.
I wouldn't put anything past John Kerry, but I don't think Democrats in this country have enough power to tell Iran, hey, why don't you lob some missiles at our airbase or at our military installation? I don't think that the Democrats have that kind of sway. Now, do I think that some Democrats are quietly going, yeah, this is going to really hurt him for reelection? Probably. That's how horrible they are. But John Kerry, who should not be over there ever, doesn't have the ability to say, hey, why don't you go launch an attack on my country? He just doesn't have that ability.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't do it, though.
All right, Ralph, I hear you, and I appreciate you calling in. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Paul's in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Paul, what's going on? Hi.
Living a dream just like you, brother. One of the things I wanted to say is, you know, if they don't want us in Iraq, my feeling is let's get out. Colin Powell told Bush before that we should never have gotten in there. And if our interests aren't appreciated, pull everybody out. As far as a response, I think there should be one. And my other question I had is, when do you think CNN switched from being a factual news thing to a fake news agency? It seems under Turner, they delivered quality news.
Well, I think probably the changeover in leadership. I agree with you. I mean, Bernard Shaw did some of the most incredible reporting when the Iraq War started. And we heard him in a hotel room crawling around reporting live. I mean, that's when CNN really was getting it done. Paul, thank you. It's an interesting question. I don't know. CNN is no longer a blip on my radar. I don't watch CNN. I'm not sure what number it is on my cable. So, I mean, that it doesn't even register with me anymore. I know that it just had to pay off a bunch of money to a 16-year-old kid that it really dragged through the mud. So CNN to me is not the issue. The issue with this and the response and what we should do, I don't know that I agree with getting up and leaving Iraq. Now, as I remember it, and I was reporting news when all this went down, Colin Powell was the one that presented to the United Nations the aerial, the satellite photos showing what he called mobile WMD trucks. So Colin Powell did say this. He said to then-President Bush, if you break it, you bought it. So I know that he wasn't necessarily for nation building, but as the Joint Chiefs of the National Security, I think it was Secretary of State at the time, as a guy in that role, that high role in the Trump administration, in the Bush administration, he was a guy that presented information, evidence, he said, that showed why we should be going after or watching very closely Iraq. He was against nation building. But my question is, if we get up and leave now, and we should have under Obama sort of said that we were going to leave and he didn't. If we're going to leave now, what do we leave? Do we leave a vacuum for the Soleimanis of the world to go in there and take over, expand Iran and make it an even bigger power, now having the resources and the population of Iraq on its side? What does it become? Because if we leave, what you're going to have is an out-and-out war, Shia Muslim against Sunni Muslim. And possibly those two together against the Kurds to get rid of them. And then you've got Shia versus Sunni. Then what do? Now you've got a full-on religious war in the region. So as much as I agree, I don't want one more drop of American blood shed. I agree with you. I don't want that. We shouldn't still be there. We didn't get out when we could have. I've said this a lot. When the president, then President Bush, said mission accomplished on that aircraft carrier, he should have pulled the troops out then. Now, the other opportunity we had was when we got bin Laden. Okay? When you got bin Laden, now you can say, okay, we can leave Afghanistan, we can leave Iraq. But we didn't for some reason. So at some point, you have to say, this is what has to happen for us to leave. If we were to get up and leave now, what does Iran get to say? See? We made them leave. They're not so tough after all, are they? Can't leave now. Now you're in there. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Carrie, did you get anything breaking? Just let me know. As we get any updates on this story, let me know.
Okay.
And we'll continue to take phone calls on this. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be former Sheriff David Clark. We talk about the Soleimani case. I recorded it before the actual show, so we're not going to talk about this attack because this is still breaking. Talk a lot about Soleimani. Talk about the Democrats, how they're reacting. We also talk about how the GOP needs to raise its game and much more. Keep it here. Joe Pags coming back.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Available everywhere with the iHeart Radio app. Now number one for podcasting. WOAI, an iHeart Radio station.
All right, thanks for stopping by the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Thanks a lot for being here. Monitoring what's happening over in Iraq and Iran. The reports are that Iran lobbed some missiles at our base there, the Al-Assad base in Iraq. We're still getting details. Don't know any numbers of casualties, how many rockets may or may not have landed. We're certainly going to keep an eye on it. But I'm wondering what your thoughts are. What exactly is Iran attempting to accomplish by doing this? They can't win. They have to know that. They can't. They have no chance whatsoever. We responded to their uprising at the embassy, killing an American contractor, injuring others, by taking out their general that killed over 500 American soldiers over his day, over his time on this earth. That's now over, thankfully. Their response now to our response is, let's lob some missiles in. What do they think is going to happen? The response is going to be tenfold what they've done, potentially, and it's not going to look good for them. They have no chance of beating us. So why instigate this? What is it that they want other than control of Iraq? I've asked you to call and tell me what you think about that. Also, tell me what you think about this increasing of agitation between the two. Chris is in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and he's got some different take, but I'm willing to hear it. Chris, what's on your mind? What's up?
Hey, Joe, what's happening? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm curious. That, you know, first off, it is a little bit gross to me. I'm not going to lie. To hear, the way you're describing this, it sounds like you're describing it like a high school fight. You know, especially before the break when you're saying, "Oh, you don't think there's going to be a response?" You know, you really seem to be speaking callously of it and sort of.
Well, how should I speak? Correct my language. How should I speak?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. No. I have no idea what you mean. So, Chris, explain what you mean. Tell me how I should have spoken about it.
Of course, Joe. Yeah, play dumb with me, Joe.
Not playing dumb. You just, hey, Chris, you just made a statement that I was callous, and the way I was callous was that let me tell you. Here's how it's going to work. I didn't hang up on you, Chris. You're on hold right now, so nobody can hear you. I want to have the conversation because clearly you want to disagree with me, and I want you to disagree with me, and I want to mix it up with you. You actually said that I was callous. It was gross in how I was describing it, especially when I said before the break, well, of course there's going to be a response. How exactly is it callous for me to say there's going to be a response? Do you think the history of the United States, the most powerful nation on earth, that protects your ass in Canada every day, do you think that our history is that somebody attacks us and we do nothing? Well, it's not a high school fight. It's not a boxing match. It's the fact that you're taking on the largest, most powerful military on the planet. There's going to be a response. Now, if you can explain to me how that's callous or how that's gross, I'll hear you. If you refuse to do that, then I'm thinking that you just tell me how you feel about what I said, and we'll move on, and you can tell me what else you think. I do want to have a conversation, but if you're going to be pretentious and act like you know what I'm thinking or why I'm doing it, stop. Because if we were sitting having a drink at a bar and you said that to me, I would want to mix it up with you. And I don't mean fight. I'd want to have the discussion. It doesn't matter that I'm on TV and radio. I would have the same discussion around the dinner table. So let's do it again, Chris. I think you've made some assumptions about my response and what I'm saying. I've asked you very directly and very cordially, how should I have said it? And now you're playing some game. I'm going to take you again. Let's start again. Because I want to like you, Chris, and I want to mix it up. But you're not doing very well so far. Go ahead. You're back on.
Hey, Joe, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
All right, talk to me.
So that was a nice diatribe you went on there.
It was. It was a monologue. It wasn't a diatribe. It was a monologue just to sort of let people know that I'm not going to play the game that you're trying to play. Let's have the discussion. Let's really do it.
Okay. I got you. Well, you mentioned the military budget, and that was actually the reason why I
never said a word about the military budget. I never said anything about the budget.
Yes, you
did. No, I said we've got the largest, most powerful military on Earth. I never said a word about the budget.
So how do you think you get the largest, most powerful military?
You have people volunteer. Nobody drafted. You have people volunteer to go and fight for freedom and liberty, to defend our country, our values, and to defend you and Mexico as well on the same continent. Right. What else you got?
Do you have the highest military budget?
Oh, I probably, yeah. But it's the largest, most powerful military. I didn't mention a dollar amount. So you made some sort of an assumption out of what I said. I'm talking about our military might and how Iran has no chance. Why are you missing that?
No, this is my point.
What is your point?
This is my point that I'm making, that I'm calling in on. This is my point that I'm calling in on.
Okay, go ahead. Make your point.
It's weird to me that you don't know that the U.S. has four times a higher military budget than China, which is...
Should make you feel good. Should make you feel good.
What?
Should make you feel good in Canada because your ass is protected. We protect you. Right.
People who are starving in your country, and you are spending $500.
Who's starving? All right, there you go. This is what happens. And, Paul, I'm sure you grabbed that for the radio audience. Newsmax, have you heard the word... That nothing we can do. We cut it off for radio, so nobody heard it on radio. He called me a bunch of names, and then he dropped the F-bomb. So let me explain who Chris is. Chris is a guy not listening on radio. He's watching on TV. Chris is a guy who lives very comfortably in Canada. he's safe in Canada because Big Brother to the South will never let anybody do anything to Canada. We've been looking out for Canada and for Mexico, for that matter, for a very long time. It of course, is well within our means to, and it also behooves us to make sure that we don't have an enemy come into Canada or into Mexico, because that also helps to keep us safe. But we've been great friends with Canada for a long time. Then you get people like Trudeau who's in there, and they're all woke. Everybody's woke. So this guy, Chris, lives in Canada, a country that I've been to, and I think is great. I love Canada. I've got great friends who are from Canada. The guy lives there, and he lives safe because of us. The country is very much like our country, although it's independent. I'm not suggesting that it's not. There could not be like China or Russia or the then Soviet Union show up and take over Canada. We would not allow it. That's why they never tried it. They would have had they been able to do it. They couldn't do it because they know that we're the big brother. We're here going to protect them. So it's all very convenient when he's living safe and living, you know, his very happy woke life. He probably voted for Trudeau. Having said all of that, the hatred of this country this guy has is surprising to me. It just is. He's focusing on the military budget and then alleging that we've got people starving in the United States of America. Now, do we have people that are below the level of the median income? Yes. Do we have people that we call in the poverty level? Yes. Those people have internet. They've got big screen TVs. They've got Section 8 housing that we provide with our tax dollars. They've got food stamps that we provide, or SNAP, that we provide with our tax dollars. They've got entitlement programs like welfare. They've got free transportation. We help those who are in need in this country. And it happens through the government. Now, maybe he should check and see how much that costs every year in entitlements as compared to our military budget. But he never, because he couldn't control his anger, because he's an angry little guy. He couldn't control his anger. He never got to why he had a problem with us having a powerful, strong, large military. He never said why that's a problem for him. Now, Carrie, I always go to you as a gauge because I try to bite my tongue and let people disagree with me if I can. Mm-hmm. This guy out of the box was already aggressive, was already over-talking, was already presumptive, he was already assuming. But when I let him speak, did I say something to make him fly off the deep end and be profane and disgusting? To call me a disgusting piece of garbage? Did I say something to lead him down that path?
No, you did not.
And believe me, Carrie, somebody said something that was an insult that made sense, Carrie would agree with him. But what I'm saying is, Chris, what you're unwilling to do is something I'm willing to do. Being in this business 30 years now, I'm able to have a conversation with somebody who disagrees with me without calling him a horrible name. I didn't call you a name. I didn't call you out. I actually said that I love Canada and that we look out for you, and your ass is safe because of us. Now, if that somehow leads you to call me ad hominem names because you get flustered and you can't respond intelligently, that's on you, brother. You actually embarrassed yourself in front of not only a national audience in America, 4.5 million unique listeners to my radio show, but internationally on Newsmax TV, which is where you must be seeing me. You've actually embarrassed yourself. So if you got off the phone after I hung up on you because you couldn't control your language, and you thought to yourself, I really showed him, what you showed is that you've got no couth, no control, and you got to go get some anger management. That's really where I am with it. Because you gave yourself, I gave you an opportunity to call me out on the facts, to call me out and tell me why you've got an issue. You weren't able to do it. You failed miserably. You should be embarrassed. Grab yourself some maple syrup and have some Canadian ham, Canadian bacon, and get back to me when you can calm yourself down. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We come back. It's going to be former Sheriff David Clark on the Iran situation and much more. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
In times.
World leaders on edge.
Like these.
The world is watching.
Make time to check in often.
This is the time to listen.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all that and more, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have this guy back. It is Sheriff David Clark, retired Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy New Year to you and your viewers and listeners.
Yeah, right back at you, my friend. Always appreciate that. Love having you on. There's so much going on. Get his book. It's Cop Under Fire. Go to his website, americasheriff.com, and read every article that he does. He did a recent one called The GOP Needs to Start Playing to Win. Let's talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about, obviously, the hot topic of the day is the fact that you and I agree with the president that he just killed, our great military forces just killed a terrorist and his sidekick, who were both in not their own country. They were in Iraq when they were killed, not in Iran. They were planning more nefarious activities. They just killed an American contractor by attacking our embassy in Iraq. And the left, for some reason, Sheriff, thinks that this was an act of war, and we killed just a general, a diplomat from another country. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's a terrorist. He's been called a shadow commander by Pentagon reports and some intel reports. And he's masterminded on numerous attacks all around the world, including, like you said, the recent attack on the U.S. Embassy in Iraq, the rocketing several weeks ago that killed an American and wounded seriously several servicemen. So this was not a good guy. He was a high-value target. And according to the president, who laid out the case afterwards, he was in the process of planning numerous attacks on American interests around the world. So the president decided, as he gets to do one of his policy options that every president has, it's to conduct a preemptive strike. The president's most solemn duty is to protect the American people at home and abroad. Those aren't just words to President Trump. He takes that stuff very seriously, and he shows it by decisive action. And so, people like General Petraeus and others have said, the world's a safer place. Ted Cruz said it. The world's a safer place, a better place, because Soleimani has been taken out.
I talked to Cruz recently, and it's Sheriff David Clark. Go to americassheriff.com, get his book, Cop Under Fire. Go and make sure you sign up for his email list as well, and read every newsletter that he puts out. Every article is great. When I talked to Cruz, he said this guy was responsible for over 500 American deaths. 500. Now, you as a sheriff and as a law enforcement officer for 30, 40 years, if somebody killed one person, somebody attempted to kill one person, you want them off the streets, you want them locked up, or you want them dead. Why would we ever hesitate in killing somebody who did this thing to 500 Americans?
Well, look at how many opportunities. Let's go back a couple presidents ago and look at the amount of opportunities that Bill Clinton had to take out Osama bin Laden,
right,
and he refused to do it. Maybe had a preemptive strike been used back then, even during the George Bush era, maybe, although he just, George Bush, in fairness to him, had just taken over as commander-in-chief,
right,
when 9/11 hit, but, maybe 9/11 could have been preempted. That is obviously something that cannot be taken off the table. It's one you want to use as a last resort, but I'll tell you what, when all options are available, and this guy as a president, this guy is planning to kill Americans and attack American interests, and you sit there and do nothing, as far as I'm concerned, you've abdicated your responsibility to be the commander-in-chief and the leader of the free world. So, hooray for President Trump. But like you said, I cannot believe how the left, and it's all across the spectrum, there's politicians, there's these Hollywood elites, these other goofs out there that are lionizing this guy, Soleimani. They're acting like he's a martyr. Like you said, Ilhan Omar and others call him a foreign official. No, he's not. He's a terrorist, for heaven's sakes. If you misidentify and you mischaracterize what something is, you will apply the wrong remedy. So fortunately for us, the president of the United States realizes it's his solemn duty to protect the American people. And I'll tell you what, it sends a message to other people around the world, including that idiot over in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, that he will take this thing very seriously. Kim Jong-un is watching also, and he's probably shocked that President Trump took this preemptive action, because Un has dealt with previous presidents, and he knew we're afraid to do something like that.
Right, I agree. It's americasheriff.com. That's the website. It's Sheriff David Clark, retired Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Get his book, Cop Under Fire. Yeah, you mentioned the Hollywood elite, the sports elite, and all these people. I'll mention Rose McGowan quickly. She's an idiot, obviously. But she said in a tweet, or she put out a statement, please, Iran, don't kill us. We're sorry for what he's done. That's how nuts she is. But again, she doesn't matter as much as we're supposed to believe Colin Kaepernick matters. Kaepernick, for some reason, matters. Nike gives him millions of dollars. The sports world holds him up as some sort of a messiah, which is nuts. He's just a dumb guy who has a girlfriend that switched his mindset. He's a guy that grew up in privilege, raised by a white family in a good neighborhood. He had every opportunity, was making $14 million a year and turned it down. He thought he could get a better deal somewhere else, and decided that he would sit down or kneel down when the anthem was played. He's not somebody who's very deep. Let's just be honest about it. But Of course, he puts out a statement, and a bunch of people jump on the bandwagon, and he says, here it is, American imperialism attacking black and brown people around the world to advance their causes. What did we advance by taking out a guy that, if he had the opportunity, would have killed Colin Kaepernick?
Well, let's just say that Colin Kaepernick didn't major in history, and he didn't major at foreign relations when he went to school.
Right.
That guy's an idiot. But, you know, like you said, he has a platform given to him by Nike and the mainstream liberal mainstream media because he speaks their language, and they can use him to express their own feelings about their hatred, not only of Donald Trump, but hatred of the United States of America. Colin Kaepernick called the American military that carried out the order. All they did, they didn't come up with the order. They carried out the president's order like they're supposed to do. He called the American military terrorists. I thought his issue was police officers' use of force against black males. Now, all of a sudden, he's conducting a mission creep here, and now he's delving into foreign policy. I'm sure he'll be able to get Nike to come out with some T-shirts with the image of Soleimani on it, and maybe even an athletic shoe with
That would be crazy, but I don't listen. That would be nuts, but I'm not here to say it's not going to happen, because that really could happen, and there are idiot drones out there, you know this, Sheriff, that will buy it.
Oh, you know, it'll fly off the shelf. There's no doubt about that. But I don't say that, you know, to make light of the situation. It's just a crazy world that we live in. But again, these idiots have a platform. They use it for these sorts of things. But again, you know, because he has no idea of what's going on in the Middle East, he obviously didn't know who Soleimani was before that name hit the news. He doesn't follow Mideast policy. He couldn't talk to you about Mideast policy. Can probably can't name a handful of countries that comprise the Middle East. But, you know, these are the idiots that we have to listen to, because the liberal media gives them a platform.
It's Sheriff David Clark, AmericaSheriff.com. Go there right now. Get his book, Cop Under Fire. Read every article that he writes. He wrote one recently that I spread out, and I'll post it again today so people will see it on Town Hall. And it's the GOP needs to start playing to win. I don't have to read the article, which, of course, I have. I don't have to read it to know that your title is absolutely right. The left always circles the wagons. The Democrats always take up for each other. The GOP has always been scatterbrained, like didn't want to miss lunch with their favorite Democrat today, instead of circling the wagons and really believing in what they believe in. Is that where you're going for with this?
Yes, it's frustrating. The base supporters of President Trump. President Trump, all you got to do, and I've written about this, follow his lead. You want to know what to do? Follow his lead. Many of the GOP in Congress and the RNC, they don't have the stomach for the type of tactics that you have to use to win politically.
Yeah.
You know, and I said in the article, politics is a game of chess, not checkers. The Republicans approach it like it's a game of checkers. And I sit in there, and I think most people would understand is a five-year-old can master checkers. A five-year-old cannot master chess. Chess is a game of strategy. You have to be able to think steps ahead. And the GOP doesn't seem to be able to do that. They're always responding to what the Democrats are doing. It's game time now. And you know, we're into 2020 now. Before long, the first primary on the Democrat side will happen. Actually, it's the Iowa caucuses, but then the primary in Maine and then down into South Carolina. So it's time to fasten the chin strap, get in there, and start delivering some blows so that you stay metaphorically, so that you stay ahead of the game and let the Democrats respond to you. We let the Democrats control the damn narrative for the first 2.5 or so years of the Trump presidency with this Mueller investigation. Right. And then when that was over, they come up with impeachment. And they have something, because you know what? I don't say a lot of good about Nancy Pelosi, but I admire her ability to play politics. And some lessons can be learned to how it's done. But, you know, you got to put on your big boy pants if you're going to be in this game. And I'd like to see some of that go on in the Congress, because the conservative voter, the Trump voter, we're tired of playing defense. Gosh darn it. Politics is also a game of offense. You must stay on offense, and you must let the other side respond to you, but we don't see a whole lot of it from the GOP side.
Well, we're starting to get it. You got Louie Gohmert and Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan and Devin Nunes and Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham suddenly now, and I think that the passing of John McCain sort of unleashed him a little bit as well. They're starting to really do what you're saying. Unfortunately, there are tons of them that aren't. You've got a Susan Collins and a Lisa Murkowski who have decided they're going to sort of be middle of the road, and when push comes to shove, they're going to lean left. So how do you overcome that? Just keep on telling people, go and vote these idiots out, or what?
Well, you know, here's the thing, and many of the people that you mentioned are friends, all right? Jeffords, you mentioned Louie Gohmert, Ted Cruz, people like that. But here's the only thing that matters to me, results, effectiveness. So they're in there fighting, they're in there doing their part, but you have to be effective. You can't just fight, you have to be effective. I'll give an example. You know, the GOP, some of them voted against it, but some of those continuing resolutions that increased spending that wouldn't give the president his border wall funding, maybe they voted against it, but I'll tell you what, they didn't do enough when they were in charge. When Paul Ryan was the speaker, many of those CRs were passed, and so they couldn't get their own party to back off that increased spending that benefited the Democrats. They gave the Democrats everything they wanted in spending bills, and the president got very little. So,
great point.
You have to be effective, you know, and I can't remember who said it. Winston Churchill, he said that the word try is the most overused word in the English language. At some point, you must succeed at what you're doing. So, you know, my hat's off to those members of the conservative caucus and the fighters and the supporters of Trump. But I'll tell you what, they got to be louder because their own party is not fully on board. You got people, like you said, Collins and
Mark others. Markowski, you've got some others, yeah.
That are, you know, talking about impeachment, the trial. Well, wow, we got to look at this and we have to. Cause no, you don't. You do not have to do that. This is a highly political process.
Yeah.
The Democrats played a very hyper-partisan game over in the House. It's time for the GOP and the Senate to play that same a hyper-partisanship. And, yeah, they should collude with the White House. I know the Democrats were whining about that, that the McConnell was huddling with the president in terms of strategy and defense for this impeachment. Darn right they should do it. And I write in that article as well that Mitch McConnell should say, yeah, we'll show you collusion. You spent 2.5 years talking about this hoax Russia collusion. We'll show you what collusion looks like. We are going to team up with the president of our party that you ran roughshod over in your impeachment process. And we're going to save his presidency.
Yes, it's a great point. It's a great article. I'm going to post it for everybody to go see right now. Go to his website, americassheriff.com. Also sign up for his newsletter. You can go and buy his book, Cop Under Fire. It's Sheriff David Clark, retired, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Happy New Year, Sheriff. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Joe. My pleasure.
All right, we're back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pag.
This is Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you, the Joe Pag Show. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always appreciate the sheriff coming on. Sheriff David Clark, retired in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. We appreciate him stopping by. Got to tell you about Raycon. You know, Raycon has a great set of earbuds that I've got. I've been using them for a long time. Probably about 6 months now. Really, really like them. It's a wireless world. You've got to have a great pair of wireless earbuds. So go with Raycons. That's what I did. They started about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market. They sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit. And unlike some of the other wireless options out there, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires, no stems. You've got perfect for on-the-go listening earbuds for taking phone calls as well. Co-founded by Ray J, he's a musician, so you know they've got to sound good. It's your turn now to find out what all the hype is about. Go to my part of the website. They've made a special site for you. You get 15% off by going to buyraycon.com/pags. BUYRAYCON.com/pags. 15% off Raycon right now. BuyRaycon.com/pags. Get it done. Carrie, any update on what's happening over there about status quo now? Still the same
it's
stuff.
It's about status quo. I mean, we can recap it. I don't know if you want to wait till the third hour, but...
If you don't mind, let's recap it now before we end this hour, and then we'll get into it again next hour.
Fox News, Iran fired more than a dozen ballistic missiles into Iraq, targeting U.S. military and coalition forces early Wednesday. Pentagon officials said the missiles targeted military bases in al-Assad and Erbil. The Pentagon added there was no immediate word on injuries or damage. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said after the attack, we are aware of the reports of attacks on U.S. facilities in Iraq. The president has been briefed and is monitoring the situation closely. It was not immediately clear, though, how the U.S. may respond. And the Pentagon added, in recent days and in response to Iranian threats and actions, the Department of Defense has taken all appropriate measures to safeguard our personnel and partners. These bases have been on high alert due to indications the Iranian regime planned to attack our forces and interests in the region. As we evaluate the situation and our response, we will take all necessary measures to protect and defend U.S. personnel, partners, and allies in the region.
That one line is so weird to me. It wasn't immediately clear how the U.S. would respond. Well, of course not. We're probably going to blow them up now. I mean, what are you going to say in response? Nobody would ever tell you a response. Not you, whoever reported that story, whoever wrote that story. That's just kind of a throwaway line. It's almost like a newscaster at the end of the story saying, "We'll keep you updated on this." Bob, back to you. Of course you will.
Right.
You have to tell me you're going to keep me updated. All right, let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you calling in, Rocco. What's happening? Hi.
Hey, Joe. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, man.
The discussion has gone way out of where it was when I called in, so I'm just going to respond to an overall concept here. Give me a minute.
Because I've only got a minute. You got to make it fast for me. Come on.
Okay. The idea is a member of a country, a citizen of country A, should believe in country A's proceedings, whatever they do. Yeah. I.e., I'm a citizen of the U.S., so I should believe in the U.S. If I don't believe in it, I should work within the U.S. to change it, or go to a country that I believe in and become a citizen of that country somehow. Now, for these people from Canada, I've worked in Canada. I've worked in Calgary for 6 months. I really like the people I work with.
Yeah.
But they seem to think I was a little harsh when I said they should feel that if anyone kills a Canadian, if a foreigner kills a Canadian for any illegal reason, that Canadian's death is worth more than any foreigner's life.
Right.
That's the way I feel.
I agree.
That's the way I feel about an American. If someone kills a U.S. citizen, hell, the rest of the citizenry, the
Rocco, well said. We get it. I love you and I appreciate you. We got to go on TV. We continue on radio. Keep it right here on the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there, plus the live video feed. Scroll down, sign up for the newsletter. You can go to the Joe Pags store by clicking on store. Shirts and mugs and hats and all sorts of stuff there. The Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yes. That it is. Dance is what I like to do.
Now me and Polo, we like the hot sauce.
That's right.
Joe like chorizo, cause he's the boss.
Yes, I am.
Bean and cheese sparks.
Yep.
From Carrie Lockie.
That's her. She's pretending she's working. Look at her.
I am working. It's like the song.
Tuesday on the Joe Pag Show.
Taco.
What?
Come on, Polo, make it happen. What do you got? Come on, bring it. Let's go. Kick it in. Knock it out. Gas it up. Hit the pedal. What?
Taco.
It's so thrilling. So thrilling. Every week, I wait the whole week. I wait 7 days. First time I've heard it this year, to be honest.
You're welcome.
Now, Paul, I thought you were going to raise your game this year, though. I mean, you look bothered by it.
Because he is.
When did we do the original taco? Do we even know? Let's see if I can find when we did the original one. Hold on. Any guesses when we did it?
Like 5 years ago?
The first one was done. No, can't be. Now, it's saying 2016. I think it was way before then. I mean, it's almost 4 years. I guess it's 3.5 years ago. Could that be? No way. Sam, is that all we've been doing the taco for 3 years?
That sounds about right.
Wow, I don't know. That sounds not long enough to me. It feels like about 20, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah. People are always like, well, why is Polo so laid back? I don't know. It's just who he is. But that original one, it's like you brought, when you did this one,
Taco,
you nailed it.
Probably because I wasn't expecting for it to become what it's become.
So you don't love that this is what you're famous for? I'm going to make shirts that say taco?
Probably not.
Come on, dude. You know, you love it. You kind of love it. In the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, I kind of love it.
No.
Come on.
No.
And Carrie doesn't love it. You don't have to take her side, though. I mean, you enjoy the song. It talks about you and about the tacos. And just because Carrie's upset that we actually
it's out not of the about me. I think gastrointestinal it's just, issues. He just doesn't like it.
That's not true.
I think it is true.
I mean, I like that.
He's sitting a lot closer to you than me.
About you and the chorizo stuff. I mean, I like that.
Bam. Mm-hmm. And then you finish it off with the taco. I tried to give you something that's yours on the show. This is what I get.
Thank you.
This is pop culture. This is, you're living large, man.
Yes.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. We've got an idiot former NFL player who decided that he would help Iran in its retaliation against us after killing Soleimani. Before we get into that, Kerry, the very latest out of Iraq is the Pentagon is saying, yes, it did happen, right?
That is correct. And that Iran's fired, now they're saying more than a dozen ballistic missiles into Iraq, targeting at least two bases. We don't have any word, though, on if there is any damage or casualties.
I mean, one would imagine there's damage, but hopefully there's no casualties. But again, this is them reacting. Look, they did something, we reacted. Now they're doing something again. And the idea that we're not going to react is a ridiculous idea, to be honest with you. It's a ridiculous idea. So we're going to react. It just depends on what it's going to be and how we do going forward. Yes.
Right now, Iran is warning the U.S. not to respond to this latest attack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just so I'm clear. They have this uprising at our embassy led by Iranians. The bad guy, Soleimani, who ended up in the death of an American contractor, other Americans injured. Soleimani, we know, has killed over 500 American soldiers over the years. We take him out in retaliation for what they just did in Iraq. And then they respond with a dozen missiles. And Iran now says, you shouldn't respond.
Yes. And they're telling us to withdraw our troops from the region. Also, Fox News is reporting, and the president may address the nation tonight. May. We're still figuring that out.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that they have any chance of us listening to what they just said?
No.
Don't retaliate and leave the region.
That's not going to happen.
How do you think that's going to go over?
Not very well.
Just
like
accent.
A lead balloon. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
So who's this NFL player? I've not only ever heard of this guy, but again, I'm focused on the NFL for a few years. Who's this player? And I know that he took the tweet or the post down now. What is it that he was saying? He was telling Iran how to get the White House?
Pretty much. This is from The Blaze. Former NFL defensive tackle Albert Hainsworth in an Instagram post invited Iran to target only the White House rather than any other Americans if it decides to attack, according to the WSMV-TV station. Hainsworth was a series of anti-Trump posts on his Instagram page, posted a picture of the White House property with a red circle around it. Inside the circle is an arrow pointing directly to the White House and USA written in. Outside the circle, not affiliated. Along with the post was the caption, at Iran, if you're going to attack the United States, well, here's a picture for you. A hashtag, just trying to help us folks that aren't starting wars. Now, the post has since been deleted from his page, and the caption for his next post seemed to reference the backlash he received for it. I deleted the last post because literally you people think I was trying to direct Iran to attack, Hainsworth wrote. If that was a serious post, which it wasn't, I would be telling Iran, innocent Americans did not attack you. You're having beef with Donald Trump, not innocent Americans. But most of the people that are getting pimped out by Donald Trump definitely don't have a sense of humor. I stole the picture accompanying that caption, sent a similar message. Most of America is not responsible for President Donald Trump's decision to kill Qassem Soleimani.
So he thought it was a joke, and those of us who like the president and respect his response to the attack by Iran, we're a bunch of, what did he call us? People who support Trump? That we don't have a sense of humor towards the end there? In his response to taking down the post?
Yeah, most of the people that are getting pimped out by Donald Trump definitely don't have a sense of humor.
We're pimped out by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So this guy actually posts a picture, an aerial view actually of the White House and the lawn at the White House with an arrow pointing to the White House saying, that's America.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that,
it's
not affiliated.
Not affiliated, so, right.
Right, leave us alone. If you're going to attack us, kill that guy. And then he's complaining that those of us who saw it actually felt he was saying attack the White House, which is exactly what he was saying, no?
Yes.
How is that not what he was saying?
It is what he was saying. How can you take that any other way?
You can't.
It's just a joke. I was just joking.
And then you have beef with Donald Trump because Donald Trump took out Soleimani. You don't have beef with us. Because we don't care that there's a dead American over there. We don't care that Soleimani killed over 500 Americans. That doesn't matter to this guy. What's his name? Paul, is this somebody I should know? Is this a famous guy?
Back in the day when he was in the league, yeah.
Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, yeah, that does sound familiar. Who did he play for?
He was with the Tennessee Titans, and then I think he got traded to, or he went to the Washington Redskins for like an insane amount of money. And yeah. I don't know if he ever played much after that. So it was a big...
A lot of strong hits to the head, you think?
I mean, I think he was also one of the guys who may have stepped on somebody, after a play. Yeah.
One of those good guys in the NFL. Gotcha. All right. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Your thoughts about somebody like this, just like, yesterday you had George Lopez saying that he's going to kill President Trump for $40 million or something instead of the $80 million bounty that's put on his head. He thought that was funny. I guess Albert Haynesworth thinks that what he said was funny also. I guess we just don't have a sense of humor when it comes to killing the president. Crazy us. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
In times like these,
the world is watching.
Make time to check in often.
This is the time to listen.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Pleasure to have you here. It is the Joe Pag Show. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. I think we have a quick update on the situation. Iran sending some missiles into our base in Iraq. Carrie, what do you have?
Yeah, Fox News is saying their sources say there have been no U.S. casualties.
That'd be amazing. That'd be great news. So I'm guessing that the United States has not announced we're going to leave the region because Iran has asked us to.
No, that's not happened.
That hasn't happened. Okay.
No.
If you're just joining us, Iran lobbed a bunch of missiles into the Al-Asad air base. Is it an air base they calling it a military base? What are they calling it?
Military base. Actually, they've targeted two military bases.
Okay. They've lobbed a dozen, it sounds like. That's what they're taking credit for anyway. I'm not sure of the final number on our side. And allegedly no casualties. That'd be amazing. If there weren't, that'd be great. Very good news. At the same time, then Iran says, you've got to get out of the region. And we're going to attack, and you better not retaliate.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. I don't know what they're doing. I don't get it. Like to know, but it's very strange. Now, I thought we had a missile defense system that could knock missiles like this out of the air. I was a little bit surprised by that. The Patriot missile system, I thought, could knock these out of the air. Again, not an expert on this stuff. I'm not sure why we wouldn't have that, though, protecting our bases. And I wonder if more information comes out, we'll find out exactly what we did to defend against this. What kind of warning we knew about, and so on. You go to the phone lines. I appreciate you, JW. What's happening in Texas? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
Living the dream, man. What's happening?
Hey, listen, I'll tell you the reason why this is going on like it is they're not really concerned about the death of that general. What they're doing is trying to consolidate their power back to the Ayatollahs to come up with a common enemy such as the U.S., because their country is falling apart and their people are rebelling against them. So they've got to come up with some excuse for their people to rejoin them and stop fighting them.
Well, I hear you, but the people they want freedom, they want liberty. They don't want to be held under a radical Islamic law where women are half of what a man is, or you throw a gay person off of a building to his death because he's gay. So I don't think people really do love Western culture and society, which I hear that they do. Then they're not going to get the people of Iran back on their side. The people of Iran don't want this overwhelming religious leadership.
Yeah, but that's what dummies do. They assume that they know what the people want, and they actually don't. Same thing with the TV system or the news media here in this country. But what they're trying to do over there is they control everything over there. They've got their internet shut off right now, so the only thing they hear is state-sponsored TV. And the state-sponsored TV over there is saying, hey, we need to get mad at the U.S. because they're trying to kill us.
Right.
They're trying to kill you, the people who don't like us.
Right, but keep in mind,
join our army.
No, I hear you, but people, keep in mind, people see state-sponsored TV every day showing Parliament chanting death to America as well, and they still want to get away. So I hear you. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just think that this would not be it that would make the people of Iran, who can't stand the overwhelming fundamentalist Islamic rule in that country, it wouldn't make them say, okay, we'll have to support the country now because America killed a guy who's killed a bunch of Americans. And again, state-sponsored TV is always putting out propaganda, yet there's still an uprising in the country, which is interesting. Let me go to Wayne in Boston. Wayne, what's going on?
Joe Pags, what's up, brother?
Hi, Wayne.
I got
talk
three
to me.
Points. Got 3 points real quick, Joe. Alba Haynes, where it's a maggot punk. He got kicked off the Patriots. He didn't even last two games, and he got kicked off by Belichick because he made a dirty hit. All right. Number two, some people. Did you hear what she said today, Joe? Yes or no?
I didn't hear what she said specifically today. I heard what she said a couple of days ago, yes. But what she said today?
Ilhan Omar, this lady is she should be charged with treason. No questions asked. And she's doing dog calling. She keeps saying, with emphasis on it, well, what's up with his hotels? You tell me right now if you think Iran is monitoring our TVs, our radios. They're monitoring it all, Joe.
Of course they are. But what did she say about his hotels? I'm not following.
No, I think it's a dog calling. I think she's saying Iran hit his hotel.
Oh, I know.
She kept
saying
hotels.
I got you.
She's sneaky, Joe. She's sneaky.
No, I think she's definitely sneaky. What's the third point?
And the third point is, you know what's going to happen if Iran keeps playing with us? We're going to send in the SEALs. The SEALs are going to go in there and take every one of the shores out, every one of the things, and give the and then we'll take it and give it back to the people. If that happens, that would be the greatest thing that could happen, Joe.
Wayne, I hear you, and I appreciate you as always. No, thank you. You know, what's interesting about the first point, I looked up this Albert Haynesworth guy, and it turns out, I mean, almost everybody who was reporting on him says he's a deadbeat dad because he doesn't pay his child support, allegedly, and was alleged to have beaten a woman at some point. There's a report on Twitter. I don't know this firsthand, but there's a report on Twitter that he just isn't a nice guy. So I guess this is not out of character for him to say, hey, Iran, why not blow up the White House? That'd be great. But it was just, Carrie's just a joke.
Mm-hmm. No.
He's just joking.
I don't find it funny.
Can't take a joke. Let me go to Steve in Georgia. Steve, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how you doing? I was on hold the last hour during Newsmax and got bumped off, but that's okay.
I appreciate calling back. What's happening?
Iran, the $150 billion you speak of that was frozen assets.
Yes.
That was originally the money from the Shah and not entitled to these Ayatollahs, first of all.
Well, they released it to Obama released it to them.
Yeah, I understand that. It should have never been released to them.
Yeah.
So you can't say that the money was given righteously. Anyways, the point I was going to make last hour was, and you had Sheriff Clark on there, which is, he's a great guy,
yes.
And we've got his book on our website, too, that we're giving away. We're giving away copies of PolitiChatter.com, and we'd like you to come join PolitiChatter, like Wayne Root, who's on it now.
Well, Steve, I think you told my reps that you could try to contact me. Do me a favor, send me the email again. I don't have it, so you can send me the email again.
Yeah,
I'll take a look and see what that website is. I'm not that familiar with it.
The last point I wanted to bring up is Al-Asad Air Base is an Air Force. It's a forward wing of a consolidated it is an air base, yes. And
gotcha.
It is a forward base. It is not a barracks. It's not like what they tried to do before.
Gotcha.
Very familiar with it. Very familiar. It's a great strategic in the Anbar province. It's a forward wing, as they call it.
Well, very good. Oh, Steve, I appreciate that. Send me that email. I don't have the one that you sent before, but I definitely would like to look into the website and see what the platform is that you're talking about, okay?
Yeah, I can get you double what you have on Twitter, because I notice you only have 81,000 people on Twitter.
Steve, it's probably a conversation that my listeners don't care about, to be honest with you. So let's do this via email, and we can discuss it further, okay?
You got it. Thank you much, man.
All right, brother, I appreciate you. Yeah, we're talking about how many Twitter people I have now. Carrie, I mean, just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, it sounds like it could be a nice forum. It could be a nice format. It's some sort of a social media-based way to show the show off. I'm down for all that. I'm down to listen to what he has to say. But I don't think that we do negotiations during the show, do we?
No, I think that belongs off the air.
We're glad that Steve called in. Yeah. I've got literally, Tommy, I've got a minute. Make it happen. Let's go.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Living the dream. I've got, seriously, a very short time. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the deal. You know, Obama, I wonder how many of those missiles that got sent today that he paid for.
I would guess all of them.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? I'll never forget that picture of that airplane with pallets full of cash with no tail number that he did in the middle of the night.
Yep.
And now they're using that money to shoot us, shoot at our air bases.
Yep.
Why isn't anybody going after Obama for this?
I'm with you. I hear you. And I think that you're right on. He had no reason to release that money. He had no reason to send a bunch of pallets full of cash, different currencies there. It doesn't make any sense. And nobody's ever made any sense out of it. But if you call him out, you must be a racist. When we come back, it's going to be Senator John Cornyn, Republican of the great state of Texas. We talk about the aggression between Iran and us. We also talk about impeachment and much more. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
In times,
world leaders on edge
like these,
the world is watching.
Make time to check in often.
This is the time to listen.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have this guy back. It is my senator. It's Senator John Cornyn, Republican of the great state of Texas. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Joe. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year as well. I appreciate you taking the time. I understand that you're enjoying the weather in Washington this time of the year.
Well, not so much. It's snowing, and then it warms up a little bit, and it's just drizzled rain. So it's pretty dismal right now. It kind of fits the political environment up here presently, too.
I guess. I mean, snowing in the swamp, that's not a pretty picture. All right. So let's break down this guy, this bad guy, Soleimani. He was a general in the Iranian army, a guy that we, I guess, denoted a terrorist some years ago. President George W. Bush, I understand, might have had an opportunity. Obama had an opportunity to get this guy, and neither did it. Not sure why. Not sure if it didn't present itself as clearly as it did the other day. But this guy is the mastermind behind killing over 500 American soldiers, either through IED, specific attacks. Iran has been fighting a proxy war with us in Iraq for many, many years now, and this guy was sort of the head of the snake. Why, John, why is there a problem with the president responding to the death of an American contractor by taking this guy out? Why is this somehow wrong?
Well, it's not wrong. It was the right thing to do, and the president operated well within his constitutional authority to defend the American people and our interests around the world. And it's pretty clear that Soleimani was plotting with the Shia militia leader, who was also killed in this strike, to not only attack our embassy, as they did, and threaten to pull another hostage crisis like we saw in 1979 following the fall of the our Iranian embassy. But also, as you point out, for years, Soleimani and the Quds Force, which is sort of their overseas expeditionary terrorist army, working within the Iranian Revolutionary National Guard, have tried to kill Americans and Americans and American allies for many years. And they operate typically, they're a bunch of cowards. They operate through proxies, things like Hezbollah and Hamas, both in Lebanon and in Syria. They partnered with Bashar al-Assad to resulting in the death of about 500,000 Syrians in that civil war. And, of course, millions of people have been displaced as refugees. This guy was a bad guy. And the only reason I can think of that some of the folks on the left are criticizing President Trump is because they criticize everything he does, and they don't see him as capable of ever doing anything right.
Right.
But my question is, how is this different from Osama bin Laden, where we got together in a bipartisan way and cheered that necessary accomplishment. This is really no different, but the reaction is quite stark.
It's Senator John Cornyn. Always appreciate the time. Great state of Texas. So when you talk about bin Laden, you know, I didn't agree with Obama on much. Neither did you. But when Obama got it right, I gave him credit. He got it right in taking out the pirates who boarded our ship off of Somalia. He got it right when he said, take out bin Laden. I believe he got it right when he said, let's leave the corporate CEO pay at $500,000 a year until you pay back taxpayer money. I thought that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. If your business borrows money from me, you can't pay the CEO $30 million. Pay him $500,000. Pay me back, then pay him whatever you want. So those are the three things in 8 years I thought he got right. Everything else I disagreed with. But I was willing to say he got it right. So are you. And why is it that the left... Because, again, if Trump would have gone to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and would have said, hey, look, this is what I'm looking to do, they would have then leaked it immediately, and the entire operation would have been off. Or they would have disagreed with him doing it, even though it was the right thing. There literally, John, was a guy, I think his name is Murphy, who's a Democrat, who said Trump hasn't done anything in response to what they just did at our embassy in the Green Zone in Iraq. And then when Trump took the action, his response was, I can't believe Trump took the guy out. So you really can't win, can you?
No, you can't. And there are people who just reflexively oppose the president at every turn and lose their what common sense and good sense that they previously had. So Soleimani is nobody that we should mourn his death. That is, fortunately, there are great and I would call them patriotic Democrats, people like Joe Lieberman, people like Jay Johnson, who is the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, former General Counsel at the Defense Department, who said the president operated well within his authorities, and this was a necessary action in a war not that we declared, but that the Iran Islamic Republic declared against us, and which, as you point out, has resulted in a lot of casualties.
It is Senator John Cornyn. Always appreciate the knowledge and the time. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, now pulls out the War Powers Act as if that somehow usurps the Constitution that basically says the president has the right to defend the country and its interests. And the action that he took was not a declaration of war. She's pretending that it was.
Right.
This was, again, him responding. Now, here's a guy, John, and tell me if I'm wrong, but Donald Trump is not a hawk. He's a guy that was against the Iraq war in 2003. Here's a guy that when Iran knocked our drone out of the air, he had the opportunity, and the operation, from what I understand, was planned to go take out a bunch of Iranians. And he asked how many people would die, and he was told hundreds. And he said, you know, probably not worth killing hundreds of people over the downing of a drone. So he's a guy who seems to be very measured and very calculated in what his responses are going to be. Why are they pretending like he's a warmonger all of a sudden?
Well, I would say that President Trump is a reluctant commander-in-chief when it comes to these sorts of actions. And I think that's not an insensible approach. Obviously, these are very tough to take, but... this is the highest duty of the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, to protect and defend the United States against all enemies, domestic and foreign. That's essentially the oath that he takes when he becomes president of the United States.
Right.
And I think our friends on the left are really demonstrating how radical they are and how much they've just been overcome by Trump derangement syndrome.
Does it affect you in your position as a senator when you hear people like actress Rose McGowan begging Iran not to kill us and apologizing for this? When you see a former NFL star posted a picture of the White House saying, this is America, Iran, let me help you out. Everybody else is not involved. And there's an arrow on a picture pointing to the White House that he wants Iran to actually attack the White House. Colin Kaepernick, for God's sakes, here we are attacking brown and black people around the world again for imperialism. Does that affect you at all? Or you just have to do the business as usual and sort of cut out the noise?
No, well, the blatant ignorance is just overwhelming. And I do feel a responsibility to try to respond where I can to try to correct the record. But again, I think as we've seen with this impeachment mania, there's some people have taken leave of their senses because they just dislike this president so much. And they're willing to criticize anything and everything he does, no matter whether they would have praised it under Obama or not.
Have you noticed, as I have, that that Soleimani was in Iraq when he died? And nobody on the left is questioning, why is this guy in Iraq? He's an Iranian general. What the hell was he doing in Baghdad? And why were we able to get him in Baghdad? I mean, why are we forgetting that he was in the wrong country?
Well, he was there organizing efforts by the Shia militia, the leader of whom was also killed in this strike, to take actions against the United States and United States interests. Obviously, they want the U.S. out of Iraq because they want Iraq all to themselves.
Right.
And this is part of a long-term strategy by Iran to create this Iranian crescent in the Middle East that goes from Lebanon all the way over to over to Iran and wipes out Israel in the process and really continues to threaten world peace. The thing that I worry about the most, Joe, when it comes to Iran, though, is their continued pursuit of uranium enrichment
right.
and march down the path toward a nuclear weapon. We haven't had a nuclear attack since Hiroshima
right.
and Nagasaki 75 years ago. Can you imagine what the world would be like with this terrorist regime and with its hands on a nuclear weapon?
No,
we just can't let that happen. We can't let that happen.
It's Senator John Cornyn, always appreciate the time from Washington, D.C. Let's shift to impeachment quickly. I talked to Cruz a couple of weeks ago, you know, before the holidays, and he said, what impeachment, Joe? I haven't seen any papers. I haven't seen any articles. Nancy Pelosi hasn't sent anything over. I mean, we don't have to take any action. We don't even have to look at it. And I talked to Poe yesterday, your friend of mine, Ted Poe.
Yep.
And he said, as a judge, if a grand jury goes through the process, does the investigation, and then decides to indict, if they don't send up the indictment to me on the bench, that person hasn't been indicted. So has the president been impeached or not? Where are we on this?
Well, I certainly have enormous respect for Judge Poe and Senator Cruz. I think technically I would say the president has been impeached when the articles are voted on, but there's certainly no reason why the Senate should do anything. To Ted's point, there's nothing for us to do until they send us the articles of impeachment. And, of course, this contradicts everything that Speaker Pelosi and others have said about the urgency of this process and how they're obligated under the Constitution to take action. This is just part of the continuing three-ring circus that we've seen the House engaged in. And when it comes to the Senate, we'll do our duty soberly and deliberately.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody expects us to get to the 67-vote threshold. So they know what the outcome is, and that's the reason they continue to play politics and games with it.
Well, is that why you think she's waiting? And secondarily, do you think that she'll ever send them over? I mean, maybe she just sits on them and says, we can't get a fair trial, and that's her way out.
Well, you probably don't want to play chess with Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. Today he announced that all 53 Republicans were committed to a process that was used under the Clinton impeachment, which really settles all of the issues that Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer have proposed in terms of calling additional witnesses that weren't called in the House.
Right.
Once they made a claim of privilege, rather than go to court and pursue a court determination of the scope or existence of that privilege, Adam Schiff dropped him like a hot potato.
Right.
And then charged the president with obstruction. It's just completely ridiculous, and I think the American people are smart enough to get it.
Well, one gets the feeling that Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Jerry Nadler all think that the checks and balances only go from the Congress to the executive, when in fact the judicial branch is there to check and balance the Congress as well. So when the president goes to the judicial branch and says, hey, I want this tried and heard, and then you give me a ruling as to whether I have to comply with their subpoenas, how can they possibly vote yes on an article of impeachment for obstruction of Congress, something I've never heard of before, when in fact he's just going through the proper process?
Well, it's purely politics, and they're playing to their base. Nancy Pelosi said back in March of last year that you shouldn't head down the path of this divisive impeachment process unless it was bipartisan and compelling. And then she turned on a dime because she was under a lot of pressure from AOC and the squad and her more radical members.
Right.
And she felt like she had to head down this path, and I think now she finds herself in a box canyon and is just looking for a face-saving way out.
Yo, one last thing, and I appreciate the time and the access. Al Green, a representative from Houston, has been pushing for impeachment since day one. In fact, he admitted a month ago, something like that, in an interview, he said, we started the impeachment process when Donald Trump was running for president. John, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work, is it? I mean, come on.
Well, no. I mean, you think about it, Joe. Impeachment should be an extraordinary process because it gives 535 members of Congress the ability to reverse a decision made by tens of millions of Americans at the ballot box. And if we're going to be a self-governing people in a democracy, obviously we don't want a bunch of politicians in Washington, D.C. reversing those decisions. We want to decide those at the ballot box, which is another reason why I think this is so nakedly partisan and political, because I think My friend Al Green and Speaker Pelosi are increasingly worried that they will lose again in the 2020 election and that President Trump will get reelected. So this is another tool in their toolbox to try to remove him from office.
Yeah, Green and AOC actually have admitted as much. John, always appreciate it. Have a great 2020. Let's talk again very soon. Thank you.
We'll do it, Joe.
All right.
Take care.
Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pag Show.
The tools you need to face the day.
Like traffic.
Because I need to get to and from work every day
to know what to expect.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Thanks for stopping by the Joe Pag Show. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. All the social media there, scroll down, you'll see the way to, it's a link, just put your email address in that. You'll get the email every day, the PAGS post, it tells you who's going to be on the show. You would have known that Senator Cornyn was on, you would have known that that Sheriff David Clark was going to be on, you would have known the topics we're going to talk about as well. So make sure you stop by there, glad to have you along for the ride, that's for sure. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, any update at all or no?
Not really. I know, we talked about the president might be addressing the nation tonight. That will not happen tonight.
Okay.
And, of course, that initial assessments show no U.S. casualties.
Which, again, is very, very positive news. We'll certainly keep an eye on it. We'll update you as we get more information. Let me tell you, we're going to grab a couple of phone calls, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Meantime, it's a wireless world. You know that, and you've been probably still dealing with those wired headsets or maybe the ones with the stems. Get some Raycons, really great wireless earbuds. You get them for about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market. They sound just as amazing as top audio brands you know. Raycon's latest model, the E25s, their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires or stems. Perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls, too. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Cardi B and Snoop Dogg already give Raycons their seal of approval. So check it out. Find out what all the hype is about. Get 15% off by going to buyraycon.com/pags. That's buyraycon.com/pags. 15% off right now, Raycon wireless earbuds. One more time, buyraycon.com/pags. Do that right now. Quick phone call. Let me grab Mike in Minnesota. Mike, what's going on? Hi. Come on, Mike. Got about a minute. Come on.
Hey, Joe. Wanted to say, missile strikes tonight, I put on the Democrats.
Those are from the Democrats because they supported the Soleimani garbage?
If they would have just come out and supported, this one thing just said, great job. Way to go, Trump. Took out a great guy. I don't think Iran wants to retaliate, but them supporting Iran and all this, the Iranians are like, well, we're going to do it.
Mike, I got you. I hear you, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I do believe that you do embolden the enemy when you show so much division here in our country, pop culture. But
Dirty Pop.
Yo. Hi, Paulo, what's happening?
To go along with this whole situation with Iran, earlier today at the Screen Actors Guild headquarters in L.A. and New York, they had received phone calls of bomb threats, pertaining to this whole Iran situation. The LAPD had gone and they swept the building and found no explosives. The New York location, they took it under advisement and they, put down, that... But the situation happened, but they didn't evacuate the building like they did in L.A.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to keep an eye on what's happening with that situation on all fronts. We'll be back tomorrow. That's Polo. That's Carrie. That's Sam. I'm Joe. We'll see you later. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags.